Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Bill Durden grew up on the water.
Well, I grew up in Florida, in St. Petersburg, Florida. And, my dad was a big boater. So when we were little kids, we started way back when, we're 5, 6 years old. Back then, I was like, the only thing you could do is go to the beach or go out on the boat and have fun.
Bill did some time in the Navy as a pilot and eventually got his own vacation home on the Homosassa River in Florida. On June 1st, 2016, the weather was good and the Gulf was calm. Perfect boating conditions.
Were you planning on going out that day, or did you just wake up and say, "It's nice, let me just go out"?
I was kind of planning it, but didn't have anybody to go out fishing with. So I did it kind of last minute. I didn't leave till like 11 o'clock in the morning. Usually go early in the morning.
Were you used to going out by yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. But I was not used to going out way offshore. But this was the first day of grouper season. It was June 1st, 2016. And I thought there'd be a lot of boats out there, somebody to hang out with. But there was nobody out there. I saw maybe 2 or 3 boats at the most. The water state was perfect. I had no reason then to worry about anything.
Except he did.
This is Live to Tell, the podcast where I talk to some of the bravest people who have been through the most horrifying things and lived to tell the tale. I'm Caitlin Van Maul.
You know, the grouper, the bottom fish, and they're kind of deep in water. So I was planning on going out about 30 miles. That's how far you have to go to go out there, catch my limit, and come right back. Didn't work out that way. I was wearing flip-flops, which I never do when I go fishing. Didn't bring any food out there. I brought some water and stuff like that. But it was such a nice day, though. I knew I could fly out there really fast and go fishing and come right back. I was trying a new type of fishing. What I normally don't do is a troll for a grouper. You take these big lures, like big Rapala lures, to go down deep. They get down to the bottom where the grouper are.
Trolling is when you have a few lines in the water at the same time, held in these holes built into the sides or on top of the boat. And as you drive the boat, the lines troll behind you.
So I threw out a couple of lines. I had a brand new fishing rod that had, I put 80 pound test braid on there.
This is fishing line.
I didn't realize that that stuff is like, you could climb Mount Everest, but that stuff is so strong. So I set out the lures and had two of them out there and just trolling along. And almost immediately, within 10 minutes, I caught 2 fish. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a great day. So I throw the lures back out. I had this new, like I said, this new rod. And all at once, it just went, just straight down. I was thinking, oh my God, this thing's going to snap if I don't do something about it real quick. So I'm going back to the back of the boat. I forgot to put it in neutral.
So the boat was still moving.
I just walked back there and grabbed the rod. Started yanking on it, and nothing would happen. I'm telling you, this line was like super strong. All of a sudden, I'm in the water. I'm with a stupid fishing rod in my hand, watching my boat go away, thinking, this is not good. I looked at my fishing rod. And I'm like, see you later. And I just tossed it, started swimming for the boat. But boat, 4 knots, I don't care who you are, you can't catch it.
4 knots is about 4.5 miles per hour. For reference, Olympians might get up to 6 miles per hour, but the average swimmer can go about 2 miles per hour. But when you're 30 miles out into the Gulf all by yourself, you certainly have to try.
Paddling like crazy, swimming, and watched it go away. I'm like, uh-oh, this is really bad. Bad situation here. There's nobody out there. I didn't see anybody when that happened.
Which is so strange for the first day of a fish season.
Yeah.
With good weather.
Yeah. So I'm out there by myself going, this is not good. This is a life and death situation now. And I watched the boat go away. I'm like, now what do I do? I even thought about committing suicide right then. And then I thought, how am I going to do that? There's no way. You're not going to go down, swim down on the bottom and hold onto a rock and kill yourself, let yourself drown. It's just your brain and your body won't let you do it. And I decided swim as long as you can. So I watched the boat. It's so depressing to watch your boat just go away. And that started this turn. I'm like, oh my God, this thing's turning around. It's coming back towards me. Tried to figure out an angle, which way to swim to meet the boat. So I tried doing that, and I missed the thing by about 20 feet. I'm like, damn, there it goes. It's called a dead man circle. A boat will do that sometimes. It'll just do one circle, or maybe more circles. I don't know, but did one circle with me. And then it just took off heading towards Mexico, heading west after that. I just watched it disappear. I'm like, man, I'm in deep, deep.
You can swear.
I want to say doo-doo, but.
Were you also like panicking?
No, I wasn't freaked out. I mean, for some reason, I knew I was going to get rescued. I hadn't, maybe it was just wishful thinking. I just knew I was going to get rescued if I just stay alive and don't do anything stupid, like get water in my lungs and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, thrashing around. Just keep calm and take advantage of anything that comes along. For my Navy training, you don't sit there in a stationary area and just try and keep your head above the water, because that'll wear you out faster than anything. What I was doing was I was like holding my breath, just on my back and just slowly pushing towards the west, figure out which way was west because of the way the sun was and all that.
Why were you going west?
I mean, not east. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. East.
It's like an interesting strategy. But
yeah. I don't want to go to Mexico.
No.
So I was on my back and I was just doing it real slow. One reason I did it real slow too, and no splashing around, was because there are a lot of sharks out there and they get attracted by noise. So I did everything really slow. I was also freaked out because if you're in the water, like with your legs down like this, it just felt like I was putting a bait out there for fish down there below me just to grab my legs. Kind of freaked me out. So I tried to keep my legs up close to the surface. I knew I wasn't going to make it back 30 miles by swimming. There's just no way. The closer to land you get, the more boats you're going to see. Every once in a while, I had to flip over and do a breaststroke for a while. And I was getting really thirsty a few hours into it. And then, matter of fact, that's what consumed my mind more than anything, more than sharks, more than anything.
Then Bill got some company.
Next thing you know, all these fish start coming around me, coming up and pecking on me, on my chest and stuff. And
like the fish were biting you? Just like little...
They're pecking at me. Yeah, my chest areas and stuff, they're nibbling at me. They weren't cutting. That's another thing I was afraid of, too. If some little fish comes and bites you with blood in the water, no, you're inviting a bigger fish to come.
Yeah. So
I'd grab one and throw them off, throw them 20 feet in the air, and I keep on going. And then the remoras showed up.
Remora are those fish that hitch a ride by sticking themselves to larger marine animals. They aren't harmful to humans, but...
You know, if there's remora in the water, there's got to be sharks around there, too. So I have no idea if sharks got to me or anything. I never saw one. There's nothing I could have done about it. So I had these remoras show up, and they started sticking onto my legs, my thighs and my calves and my... Actually, at the bottom of my feet, there's one under stuck himself at the bottom of my foot. And that's such a weird feeling of these fish stuck to you.
Yeah. But,
you know, I got so tired of throwing them and wasting so much energy that I just let them stick around.
Yeah.
And literally stick. So I had like six of these things on me at one time. So I just let them hang out there.
So Bill just kept swimming and swimming and was so thirsty, but kept swimming and swimming.
And I did, actually, before the sun went down, one boat came by within, I would say, 100, 150 yards, waving like crazy. Did see me. They just kept on going. I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'm going to be here forever. And then the sun started going down, and that's when you really don't feel good. Because the ocean comes alive at nighttime.
Yeah. What are you thinking? I mean, just like, I'm thirsty.
Yeah. Like 90% of the time I was like thirsty. And I would have paid you $1 million for one glass of water.
Oh.
And I'm looking around for like partially filled water bottles or Coke bottles or anything floating on the water. It's nothing out there. I didn't think about dying or anything like that. I was like, in the survival mode. People ask me, were you thinking about your family and stuff like that? I'm like, nope. I was not going to submit to dying and think about family and, you know, see you later kind of thing. It was just all 100% survival.
Meanwhile.
Now, my wife, I knew she wasn't going to do anything until it got dark because I've gone fishing a million times and I've come back late. More than once. And I knew there was no emergency. Nobody's going to call in, you know, missing person or anything like that until it got dark.
Just a reminder, Bill left to go fishing at 11 a.m. and was yanked off his boat around 1:30 p.m.
Finally, my wife gets home and then it was getting dark. She started freaking out. So she calls the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard tells her that she has to call up the sheriff's department first with the police. And so she did that. This is funny. They come to the house. They block the car that she was driving. And they go in there and interrogate her. She didn't know she was being interrogated. Because they didn't know she killed me or what.
Yeah. And just sent the boat out with a dead body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because something happened like that. Like, I think within a year before that, some lady pushed a guy off the boat and she jumped overboard real close to shore. And they found out that she did that on purpose.
Yeah.
The guy drowned. So they were real hesitant on believing her story. So they checked went through the whole house, asking her all kinds of questions. They're like,
oh, your poor wife.
Yeah, like, she was freaking.
You could look for him.
Yeah, that's what she was doing. She's like, quit wasting my time and his. He's out there right now. And you're not doing anything. So they go, okay, you can call the Coast Guard now or something like that. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I guess they start the search then. And so the Fish and Wildlife guys were out there. The Sheriff's Department was out there in boats.
At night?
Yeah. Actually, there were some civilians that went out there that heard about it. It was pretty cool. They're out looking for me. Of course, nobody found me, but...
We'll be right back.
So the search was on, but finding someone in the vastness of the Gulf of Mexico is tricky, let alone at night. So Bill was just floating.
The ocean turns alive at nighttime. I'm not kidding. I mean, you hear the weirdest noises because your ears are underwater. And I mean, it was like a horror movie. All these weird, freaky noises. And you know, I'm thinking maybe whales are making this noise or oil rig out there a few hundred miles away because, you know, sound travels really far in the water. And it was just the weirdest, weirdest noises. And it was creepy. And then it'd go away for a while and then it'd come back.
And, what did it sound like?
Well, that's the weird thing is I can't even explain it to you. It kind of went away from my mind. I can't remember what the noises were. It wasn't man-made. It wasn't like a ship where you hear props or anything like that. It was just a creepy, creepy noise, which didn't help at all in, you know, my mental state.
Then Bill came to a sound he did recognize.
As you come near a coral reef, you can hear noise like frying bacon.
Huh.
Because I guess the little beaks on the coral make this chomping noise. And every time I hear that noise, I go, oh, God. That's where fish are, because they're on a reef. So if fish are there, that means sharks are there. And I just go real fast over those reefs. I went through about at least 10 of them.
Oh, my God.
When I was that night. And I'd go real fast over them. And
how are you handling the fear?
I don't know. It's just thinking about water so much that didn't bother me. Or I surrendered to it or something. That I really didn't have a lot of fear. It was weird. I mean, I was very aware of what was going on. And very, you know, looking around for, I wouldn't open my eyes underwater and look around because
yeah.
I didn't want to know really.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably an element of like, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
You're exactly right. There's nothing I can do about it. Next thing you know, I see this, I thought it was an airplane at first. It was coming straight at me. It was this big spotlight on it. And I figured it out. It was a helicopter. Those guys were looking for me. He was coming straight at me. I'm like, would this be a miracle? These guys find me in the open ocean in the middle of the night, fly right up on me. Well, they got within, I would say, half a mile. And then the spotlight went out. And they went home. I'm like, I'm going to be here till tomorrow. I know that.
And you're still not thinking like, well, that's it. I'm toast.
No, I thought that was just a good lucky deal. And
just a minor setback.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't pan out.
Then things started to get weird or weirder.
Then I kind of got hallucinations. It started getting like real foggy all of a sudden. And I'm like, this is weird. It was beautiful weather out there. And next thing I know, I see this like a shrimp boat, you know, like the Forrest Gump kind of shrimp boat. And it was anchored and had a little rope with a dinghy in the back behind it. I'm like, oh my God. So I started swimming towards that direction thinking it was real. And it wasn't. It was a total hallucination. And I started yelling at it going, man overboard, man overboard. And, then I look around and I'm like, there's nothing there. I'm like, oh man, you better get your shit together and keep going. And I'd swim and I'd accidentally fall asleep for a minute or two. And I'd wake up and I'm sitting there swimming the wrong way. I'm going west instead of east. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? And I'd turn back around and head back the right way.
There were no boats. But there was something moving in the water.
I see these two fins coming at me. I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good. This might be the end. And they're like going up and down. So I was thinking, okay, it's probably dolphins, but I'm not sure because it's really dark out here. And I could just barely see them.
Was it a full moon at all or like?
No.
How much light was there?
Just stars. Stars. And then I see one of them. I was going this way. They were over here coming towards me where my feet were. So I got my feet up real high. because they want to get chomped on. And one of them dives down, and the other one stays up like a shark does. He comes in within, I don't know, 7-8 feet of me, goes around my right shoulder. I'm watching him like, oh, God. I don't even know if maybe a dolphin might be an enemy out here. I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was. It was shark or dolphin. Next thing I know, my feet went down a little bit, and that one dove down like 20 feet away from me, came up and ran his body across my feet. I'm like, whoa! And I pulled my legs up, and it felt kind of rubbery. I'm like, well, that could be a dolphin. I hope so. It's not a shark. Then they came up, you know, 20, 30 feet away, and they disappeared. Just went away. I'm like, Flipper, come on, man. You're going to take me to the beach. Yeah.
With no help from the dolphins, Bill just had to keep swimming in the dark and think about how he got there.
Have you been, like, beating yourself up this whole time of, like, you made a mistake, so this is why you're in this situation?
Oh, yeah. I go, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. And I've done a lot of crazy things in my life, coming close to dying many times, you know, flying Navy jets. I'm going, this is the stupidest way to die, and I'm so pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to retire within 3 years, and I'm not even going to get a damn retirement check out of this. Yeah. And another funny thing was, it's kind of spiritual. My dad passed away back in 2001, and we took his ashes out there within a few miles of that area. And that's what I was thinking, you know, like, wow, maybe he's protecting me or something out here. So that was just a thought.
And, yeah, I mean, that's nice to, just a way for you to not feel so alone.
Yeah. And people ask me, do you believe in God now? I'm like, you bet you I do. I mean, there's no reason I should be alive right now. I should be dead.
Did you believe in God before?
Yeah. But, you know, wasn't real religious or anything. Sure. I mean, I never went to church and all that stuff. You know, I just didn't think too much about it. But I do believe there is a higher power, just because I shouldn't be alive. And it wasn't because of me that I did anything special out there.
Well, I think you did do something very special. Like, you, I would have been dead already. Like,
yeah.
Then, as the sun was rising,
I'm looking at the clouds and everything, and I'm going, man, this is a beautiful sunrise. And there's that orange color and all the white clouds and everything. Then I see this thing going back and forth below the clouds. I'm like, what the hell is that? I thought I was hallucinating, because I know nothing flies like that. No airplanes, no helicopters. They don't fly like that. And next thing you know, this thing comes down, and it turns out it was a drone. It was a square, like 3 feet by 3 feet, white and orange drone. And it came down, and it got within like, I don't know, 20, 30 feet away from me. Above me, we had a big camera pointed right at me, and I'm like, come give me, you know, and giving it all these hand signals and everything. And then another one shows up, and it's stacked right on top of the other one, probably 50 feet, 100 feet above it. And they were like stacked on each other, and they just sat there for about, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe.
Is any part of you thinking aliens?
No, but everybody asked me, they go, are you crazy by then? Or is you really think that happened? And I'm like, I swear to God it happened, because I could hear the noise of the motors. There's four little motors on each one of them, on each corner. The thing just sat there really close to me. I'm like, these guys found me, because they're orange and white. I'm thinking, Coast Guard found me, and they'll be here to rescue me within an hour. I found there's a crab trap pretty close to there.
Crab traps are marked with a buoy that's a little smaller than a soccer ball.
The one over there, and I grabbed it, and all slimy and full of seaweed and stuff. And I was having a hard time kind of holding on to it. I mean, it took energy, which I didn't want to waste.
And is it like holding you up? fully, or do you still have to like work at it?
I had to work at it. And so I sat there and held on to that thing, thinking that drone got the GPS coordinates on me. I'm going to stay right here. Stayed there for an hour. I'm like, where's the posse? I mean, nobody's coming. So I let go of it and just start swimming again. I'm thinking, I probably got to the end of this day and I will be done by then. I'm way out of energy.
Bill could see planes he thought were out looking for him, including a Coast Guard C-130 plane. But they were too far away to give him any real hope. And at this point, his body was deteriorating.
Really tired. And then I started getting diarrhea from inhaling salt water. Cramps and sick to my stomach. And my body is covered with all these sores. You ever heard of sea lice?
No.
Sea lice are like embryo stage of a jellyfish. It felt like, they feel like ants biting you, like red ants.
Oh.
I had hundreds of them all over my body. They just get on you and they sting you. And still have fish around.
But then
I hear this, whoa. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I look back behind me and it's a C-130. And he's coming right down my right side, really close. I'm going, this is it. This is, if I miss this, I'm going to die out here. And I start waving like crazy when he came right by.
So, of course, hooray, Bill is rescued, right?
He comes by, but he goes by me, wings level. And me being a pilot and doing surface search stuff, I know if you see something, you immediately start a turn in the airplane and circle whatever it is you're looking for. What happens, this guy goes, we're by me, wings level.
So no circle to show they saw him.
I'm like, oh my God, they didn't see me. That's what I was thinking the whole time. They went down like a mile past me. And then they started to turn. I'm like, oh my God, I think they found me. And next thing you know, I see this smoke in the water. They dropped the smoke.
The plane had dropped a floating orange smoke signal to mark the spot.
And I'm thinking, hey, maybe there's a life raft or something attached to it or something like that. So I start swimming that way.
Unfortunately, it was just the smoke. No life raft.
And I'm all pissed off because they dropped the smoke so far away that I had to swim all that way. I'm like cussing. And next thing I hear is this whoppity, whoppity, whoppity.
And this is different from the wah, 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 wah sound he heard earlier.
Sounds like a helicopter. I turn around. There's only like two helicopters in the United States Coast Guard that are painted this way. It was yellowish gold color. And I call it the angel from the skies. I'm like, this thing came from heaven. They stopped about 100 yards away from me. And they sat there and watched me for a while. I'm like, come on. I'm tired, guys. And the more time I spend here, maybe a shark might still come. I think the reason they did that is because you get close to the water with a helicopter, you get rotor wash.
Yeah.
This water comes up and just... So they drop a swimmer out and he comes swimming up to me. And he's going, hey, man, how's it going? I'm like, man, great. And you the only one out here? I'm going, just me and the sharks.
And does he have like a flotation device for you?
No. He's got his frogman stuff on, you know, fins, mask and all that. And he grabs me, takes me back underneath the helicopter, and they drop the basket down. And I've already practiced this before in the Navy, and I jumped on that thing faster, I bet you, than anybody else in the entire world has gotten in that basket. I was ready to get out of it. It felt so good when they started lifting me up out of the water. I got up in the helicopter, and they gave me a blanket, and they got this damn air conditioner on it, freezing cold. I'm up there like frozen. I could hardly talk to him. And I'm like, you guys, I could hardly talk. Can you guys give me something to drink? And they're like, I couldn't believe what the guy said. No, we can't give you any water. We don't want you puking on our helicopter. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, we got this wrong. I need water now. And he goes, yeah, give him some water. So they gave me a little bottle of water. They go, drink it really slow. I'm like, sure. And I drank that thing in half a second. I just knocked it down. I was just so thirsty. We head back to the base, and it's about a 20, 30 minute ride. And they're asking me all kinds of questions. And I was so tired, and my throat hurt so much that it's kind of hard to answer the questions.
Bill told the story the best he could, considering. And then they landed at the Coast Guard base.
The weirdest thing happened. Like, when I was getting out of that helicopter, I jump out, and I couldn't stand up. It was weird. It was like I'd been in outer space for a month. I mean, I didn't know how to walk. It was the weirdest thing in my life. I mean, your body forgets somehow. That only lasted for, a minute or so.
Like, your muscle memory wasn't working for how to walk, or you were just tired?
Yeah, it was like a muscle memory, and felt like I had spaghetti legs. I mean, they're just going to collapse on me. But they had an ambulance right next to the helicopter, so I wasn't walking around very much. The two guys were on my side helping me. And I get in there, and they do the EKG and this and that. And my brain was going so slow. I was like, you guys have any, starts with a G. It's a G something, Gator. Guy goes, you want a Gatorade? I go, yes, that's it. So they gave me a Gatorade, and I nailed that thing. Gone. They asked me, do I want to go to the hospital? Of course, like an idiot, I said, no, I'm fine. I mean, I could hardly even talk. I could hardly walk. I'm saying, no, I'm fine.
Bill was out in the water for 20 hours and had been awake for several hours beyond that.
Then the public relations officer comes up there. And she goes, hey, there's a bunch of reporters out here that want to talk to you. And I look outside, and there's like a line of 50 yards of them. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even talk right now. And she goes, will you please talk to these people? This means a lot. This doesn't happen very often. And I go, yeah, you saved my life. I'll go ahead and do it. So I go out there and I talk to these people, all these reporters out there. And my wife, she shows up, and, we hug and all that stuff. And my sister was there. And I had this whole entourage of people that showed up. And they were there listening. I don't remember a word that I said. And they said, no, you did great. It sounded like you were normal. So I talked to them, and then the commander of the base comes up to me, and he says, hey, we got everybody in the officer's mess, and they're eating lunch. And he was wondering if you could talk to them. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again. I go, you guys saved my life, so I'll do it. And I go in there, and all my family's in there too. And I put 10 glasses of Coke, Gatorade, tea, water, everything. I had all these glasses of liquid. And I couldn't even eat. But then I found out that anything that had any kind of acidy taste to it, like Coke or lemonade or anything like that stuff, just burnt my throat so bad that all I could do was drink water. And so I drank about 19 glasses of water. And they started asking me questions. And they all wanted to know it. And the coolest thing, though, was, I don't know if you ever talked to a crowd where half the people are listening and half aren't.
Yeah.
Like doing some kind of class or something. Uh-huh. Every single person in there was listening with 100% attention. They told me, the Coast Guard told me, that I was the first guy in 19 years where they actually found the guy alive. They usually find everybody dead. And this lasted for at least an hour.
How long were you talking to the press?
15 minutes or so.
Okay.
And I was barefoot. I had my shorts on, my yellow shirt, and my watch. And
they didn't give you any clothes? Like, you're still wet.
Yeah. They gave me some neoprene booties.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was all right.
We'll be right back. After speaking with the press and Coast Guard, Bill was allowed to leave and could finally go home and sleep.
My mother wanted, she was on the way up there. She got lost. So we had to go to this mall and I had to go find her and spent like an hour looking for her. She couldn't tell us where her car was parked or anything. She was like lost. And so we spent an hour doing that. And I'm just like, all I want to do is go to sleep. My wife was right there. She was up all night too. And matter of fact, when this went down, they said they were getting strange pings off my phone. My phone was in the boat. And they go, we're getting these pings from out in this area. And they told her about it. She got in the car and went out 3 o'clock in the morning down these dirt roads way out in the country. And she couldn't find anything, of course, because it wasn't there. She was up all night long, too.
I mean, shout out to Bill's wife, who had been accused of his murder and then went driving all over Tarnation to find him.
So we're both really, really tired. Is this any part of the story you want to hear?
Yeah. I'm like, when do you get to go to bed?
So I'm still just like so hungry and thirsty. We stop at a store. I buy all this stuff like donuts and ice cream. Plus I smelled like dead minnow.
Mm-hmm.
I take a shower. I finally got to bed and I slept for 13 hours.
When you woke up, how did you feel?
Oh, weird. My brain was still messed up.
Yeah.
Everything was slow motion in my head.
While Bill was trying to boot up his brain, he got a visitor with good news.
The Fish and Wildlife guy comes by my house, hands me my wallet and my phone, tells me my boat is at the marina.
During the search for Bill, a man from Fish and Wildlife actually found Bill's boat off of the St. Martin's Keys, which are very close to Bill's home on the Homosassa River. Considering that Bill was 30 miles out and the boat could have gone in any direction, that it basically went directly back to Bill's house is amazing.
The guy that found my boat, the thing was still running. It was on a mangrove island. And he got on board and looked around and towed it back to the marina. And I went there the next day or the day after, I can't remember, but I looked at the boat and the thing was in perfect condition. Not a scratch on it. All the fishing gear was there, everything.
Wow.
It was like, it was untouched. And I thought I'd never see that boat again. I thought I'd head to Mexico.
Then the fish guy says,
have you been to the doctor yet? And I go, no. And he goes, you better go to the hospital. You might get pneumonia or something like that from all that stuff you inhaled. And I'm going, okay, you're probably right. So me and my entourage, my mother, my sister, my wife, jump in the car. We go down to the hospital. And I go into the emergency room. And I got all these people behind me. It's like some kind of rock star walked in or something. I go, hey, I'm the guy that fell out of the boat yesterday. And I'm here to see what's going on with me. And they're like, you're the guy? Immediately, they jump up and take me back into the emergency room. And this doctor comes in and they do all the blood tests and everything. And goes, you're not going anywhere for at least a day. I'm like, what? Okay, whatever. What happened was I got rhabdomyolysis. You heard of that?
No.
It's for anybody, like marathon runners. Anybody that does high physical activity, doesn't drink enough, gets dehydrated,
mm-hmm.
What happens is your body protects internal organs and it will kill muscle and stuff, extremities of your body. And what it does is like all that stuff that when the cells die, it goes into your kidneys. And that's what happened to me. I think the normal range, I forgot what the test was, what it's called.
They test your creatine kinase levels. Creatine kinase is, you know what? Never mind. You just need to know low number good, big number bad.
The normal person is less than 300. And mine was like at 6,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They go, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here.
Yeah.
I was there for 24 hours and they gave me 3 gallons of saline or whatever it was.
Wow.
And
what would have happened if you didn't go to the hospital?
Well, I could have destroyed my kidneys and then end up dying from kidney failure.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know what they were talking about. I never heard of it before. And I thought I was free and clear.
Luckily, the doctors were able to get that under control, and Bill went home. When Bill was first rescued and talking to the room full of Coast Guard personnel, no one mentioned the drones Bill saw.
A couple weeks after this happened, the Coast Guard calls me up, and this number two guy in the Coast Guard, this admiral, he goes, well, tell me about your story. I want to hear about this. It's the whole thing again. And he goes, you know how many people, how many boats we found with nobody in them, where guys just went to the back of the boat to take a leak and fell overboard? He said it happens in the Chesapeake Bay area especially. You start talking all about that stuff. And I go, Admiral, what about these drones that I saw out there? He goes, what kind of fishing rod are you using? He would not come close to answering that stuff. So I don't know to this day who that was, where the drones were.
But he wouldn't even say, like, that wasn't us?
He said, we don't have drones, something like that. Then he conveniently dropped the subject and moved on. So I'm like, I don't know who that was. I'm starting to think maybe it's drug runners out there, because they do a lot of drug running up towards the northwest coast of Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some bad guys out there. They saw me out there and they said, oh, we're not going to help this guy. We got other things to do.
Well,
I don't know. I have no idea. Still to this day, nobody admits to it. And I asked numerous Coast Guard guys. Nope, not us. I asked the police department. Nope, not us. So I don't know. And a lot of people thought I was hallucinating, but this was too real.
About a year after Bill's miraculous survival, he got a strange opportunity to face what happened to him.
The Charles Schwab, one of their clients.
They were doing a new campaign and asked Bill if he wanted to be a part of a video telling his story, including a recreation of the whole thing.
And I'm like, oh, God, I don't know if I want to jump in the water and do all that stuff with a helicopter and all that.
And they wanted you to do that?
Well, what happened was they hired a guy to do it.
Yeah.
And when he got in that rotor wash with the helicopter, he freaked out. And we had to rescue him. And I'm going, let me go do it. I jumped in the water.
No, no, that's not the answer.
Dumb me.
No.
Dumb me. That took, that 5-minute video took 3 days to shoot. I couldn't believe it.
But like during that recreation of the rescue, did you have any feelings about it, or you're just like, whatever, this is?
Yeah, I had a feeling jumping in the water, because where we were at was a real, really good fishing area. Like, do I really want to do this? And it's starting to get dark and stuff, and it's like, okay, I'll do it, but you better just do it quick.
The link to the video is in the show notes. Charles Schwab aside, Bill today is still kicking himself.
I've done some dangerous things in my life, and to get to do something so stupid as this is didn't make me feel real good. Man, you gotta knock this stuff off, man. Just goes to show you, I had no idea this was going to happen. I thought it was just going to be like 10,000 times I've ever been out in the water and fishing and all that stuff. And within a second, your life is in danger. I mean, in serious danger. And I'm like, how did I get caught doing something this stupid? I mean, I was really pissed off at myself. Nobody else to blame, just me. I mean, I'm the one that did it 100%. So it was a lesson I learned. I won't do it again, I can tell you that. It was
But like over the years, has it changed from like, ugh, I feel really stupid? Have it ever felt like, oh, but I also endured this like crazy thing? Like I had the willpower and the stamina and like the physical capability of doing this thing that a lot of people couldn't do.
No, I don't think about that not much. Just stupidity. And I've done a bunch of high risk stuff like mountain biking, skiing, and high risk kind of stuff that I throttle back real big time. I used to be kind of aggressive and like an adrenaline freak. I don't do that anymore. And I go, why was I doing that? That's kind of stupid.
Well, fun. Fun is a reason.
Yeah, I can find fun many different ways than that.
Do you think you'll forgive yourself? Or have you forgiven yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Because it only happened to me, thank God. If somebody else was with me, it would have been a different story.
I hope you learn to focus more on the triumph of what you did.
No, I got these Navy buddies, these pilots that harass me 24 hours a day. So that'll never happen.
Well, tell them to shut up. And they want to be mean about it. They can go swim for 20 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Live to Tell. I'm Caitlin Van Maul. You can follow the show on Instagram and TikTok at Live to Tell Podcast. And you can follow me at Caitlin Van Maul. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It really helps. You can also join me over on Patreon, where we have a community chat, extended videos, and bonus episodes. That's patreon.com/livedtotell. I'll see you in 2 weeks.